Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We know who runs the route, but now it's time to dive into the guys throwing the ball. Welcome to QB Class, presented by Reception Perception. Here's your host, Zach Miller and Derek Classen.
Welcome back, everybody. Another episode of QB Class here, the QB show here at Reception Perception. I'm Zach Miller, here with Derek Classen. Our QB guru or nerd, whatever you want to say behind his back, is fine with me. But to this face, QB guru for sure. How are you doing today, Derek?
I'm doing good. You know what's funny about that is I actually just did Matt Harmon's show on Yahoo, and we were talking about the whole like guru thing. We've landed on wizard, actually, because wizard sounds a little bit more like ambiguous, and also because like I play a bunch of video games and stuff, it clicks a little bit better. It fits the brand, so we're pivoting to QB wizard. Yeah,
QB wizard. All right, I'm fine with that. Guru's always a little overplayed, so wizard has a little more unique flair to it. Well, we got a good show ahead of you today. We've pretty much passed the category of like this draft feels a little bit like big three heavy, big three wide receivers, big three quarterbacks. To four if you want to include JJ McCarthy in there, which is becoming more and more common. But we're past that, which means we get to dive a little deeper into the guys that aren't necessarily going to go in the top five picks. And we are starting off the first episode of that with Oregon's quarterback Bo Nix. In terms of production profile, Bo Nix probably had one of the best in this class, was a Heisman finalist, passed for over 4,000 yards his final year at Oregon, I think even a little bit more than that. And something like 45 touchdowns, which is just a crazy amount for any quarterback in college. So let's hop right into his profile. Derek, talk to me a little bit about what you saw off the cusp with Bo Nix.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of executing, Bo Nix was pretty good. Like his profile is really clean. He had 74.9% adjusted accuracy, which is pretty good. Not quite as good as Jaden Daniels in this class, but it's going to finish as one of the better marks in this class for sure. I think generally you see that when he plays too. Like he is not a guy who sprays a bunch of passes. Like he is generally able to put the ball where he wants to. He has some arm strength concerns that I'll get to a little bit later, but I think generally he knows how to put the ball where he needs to. Sometimes it's just a matter of does he have the juice, but generally does a really good job there. The deep accuracy stuff is really good in terms of like the three quadrants that he has on the heat map. One of them is green, two of them are in the average area, which down the field is perfectly great. If you can be at least average everywhere down the field and have one good area, you're cooking. He was really good throwing nine routes, so he can at least put it in the bucket down the field. Granted, Oregon's offense was like very simple in the way that they threw down the field, but he was still really good at getting there. And then I think you even look at some of his other accuracy numbers. You get into like 65.8% against man, success rate against man, best in the class so far that I have. 88.2 open window success rate, best that I have in the class so far. Like when the throw is there, he doesn't really mess it up. And I want to be clear too, like that open success rate thing doesn't include any of the screens that they're throwing in this offense. Like these are purely the like actual throws that they're making. And when they're there, he makes them, to his credit. And then even like tight window accuracy, 49.6 percent tight window accuracy. He throws the least amount of tight window throws in this class, which I think is another discussion. But when he does throw them, he at least shows that he has enough touch to get it there in a lot of instances. So you look at a lot of stuff with his profile, at least off the top, before you like super, super dive in. It's not bad, which to me suggests he's like kind of a high floor ish guy, which if you're drafting a guy who's a fifth year senior or whatever, sixth year, that's kind of what you're hoping for anyway. So he at least checks that box.
Yeah, pretty rare that you see a fifth year senior being talked as like a first round draft pick. I don't feel like that happens very often. And especially one with like a little bit of like energy behind it. I feel like a lot of times when you're talking about a fifth round senior or something, you're looking at like, oh, he's very mature. Like he can run a pro offense very well. And Bo Nix can do those things. Like he did that at Oregon. Don't get me wrong. Like the easy, layup type passes. They threw a ridiculous amount of screens. 15% of his charted routes were screens, which is a ton. The other two numbers that really stood out to me in terms of the route percentage was his out and his dig route targets were both around 2% of his total routes, which means he threw about 13 total out routes and only about 11 total dig routes. That kind of stood out to me pretty predominantly because those tend to be throws I consider NFL like arm caliber throws. To like when you're in the NFL and you're throwing an out route, you really need to be able to like stick it on there. Is that kind of telling to what you were talking about with his arm concerns?
Definitely. I think too, part of it is, I will say, you know, the Oregon offense is just very like, we're going to throw simple RPOs, we're going to throw a quick game, we're going to throw screens, and then when we want to throw it down the field, we're going to throw slot fades. Like they just don't have a lot in the intermediate game. Like even if you take Bo Nix out of the equation and insert like most college quarterbacks in the offense, that part of it probably wouldn't change. But I will say like Bo Nix is not particularly great at those throws. I think especially throwing outs, he can sometimes lack the juice to really get the ball outside the numbers the way that he wants to. And when we do the video show, I will have a clip showing exactly that sometimes throwing outside the numbers and throwing from the far hash can be a little bit tricky for him. Throwing the dig stuff, I actually would have liked to see them do it more because I think he can kind of throw those digs. Like I think for whatever reason, I haven't really cracked the code on it, but I do think his velocity is actually better when he's just throwing straight over the middle and like, you know, throwing down the hallway, if that makes sense. I think he just has a little bit more zip when he's throwing that way. He just seems more comfortable. So I think in the very rare instances where he did throw digs, I mean, there's one against Oregon State that I think everybody has tweeted to suggest that he can do NFL stuff. I would have liked to see him do more of it because there are some moments, but the outs, I think, is the biggest concern for me there. It's just some of that stuff there. And then the other thing I want to say quickly, too, about the route tree, like he didn't throw basically anything at an above average rate, like not his success, but just like the volume at which he threw them, because so many of his throws were screens or checkdowns or whatever. Like he just didn't throw real routes at a very high clip at any route. Like every other guy has at least two or three routes they threw a ton. Not Nix, man. Like it's screens and that's it.
Yeah, the only other quarterback in this class that threw even not even close, actually more of their routes to screens is, funnily enough, Caleb Williams, who threw that 17.9.
Which we've all complained about USC's offense.
It's like the USC offense is so difficult to judge for that, but it's similar with Oregon. Like they do run a lot of screens, a lot of, like you said, those like post fade routes where it's just kind of, we're either dumping it off or we have a wide open wide receiver running down the field that we need you to hit. There's not a lot of the in between, which makes looking through a profile like Bo Nix kind of a hard evaluation to go from the NFL level, because everything that you've charted shows that he can throw to those levels on the small amounts that he did do it, but it's at such a small sample size that it's hard to feel confident being like, if he was throwing these 20, 30 times in his charting, even 20, 30 times, or let's go up to like your regular, we see a lot of college quarterbacks throwing, like not a lot of out routes, but like even like comebacks or like check down routes. He's not throwing a lot of those. He's not throwing a lot of comebacks. None of them really throw comebacks, but out routes, corner routes, all of those are pretty low numbers for him compared to everybody else. If you were to take that super small sample size and kind of blow it up, what would you be most confident in his NFL game?
I would say some of the middle of the field throws. Like I said, I think he actually, when he's on time and confident, can throw the dig routes and stuff like that. I think we've even seen some seam routes. Like he's pretty good at being able to pin that on guys. I think every now and then on the seam routes, he, which by the way, go in like the post bucket for those that aren't super familiar with the charting. But anyway, like I think sometimes guys, and Bo Nix can have this issue, is he won't exactly know where you need to put a seam ball, because just the way that it gets covered with inside leverage sometimes, it's like, do I put it over the top? Do I put it on the back shoulder? Blah, blah, blah. I think sometimes he can struggle with that. But when he knows where it needs to go, he can put it there. So I think in the NFL, I'd be really interested to see him throw more over the middle of the field, because I think he has that in his bag. And I think if you expanded it, he could do it. I would be more concerned with some of the outside the numbers stuff, you know, trying to throw up sail routes, corner routes, deep comebacks, all that other stuff. And he was successful on the very small sample that he had. You know, generally, I think on the corner routes, he did good. Comebacks, he did good. But like, it's such a small, tiny sample that it's like, I don't feel good about it.
It's hard to feel confident about it for sure. One of the other stats that really kind of stood out to me on here that was the best in his class. There weren't many places that he was best in the class, but he was best in our class of play action rate, success rate, and RPO rate, success rate, both really high marks, specifically his RPO success rate. He was the only prospect to clock over 90%. He had 91.6, which is very good, on 72 attempts, which is no joke. And then same thing with play action, hitting at 68%, which is the highest of the class too. I have a feeling a lot of that comes into Oregon's offense, very similar to what we saw with USC. But how would kind of that translate to an NFL level in your mind?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, I think the RPO one is tough. I almost need to like unbucket it, in the sense of like a lot of the RPOs are just like screens are attached, so it's like, yeah, you probably should be above 90%. I mean, I do think he does do fine when they do like more downfield stuff, but I think him and Caleb Williams, actually, their RPO success rate is kind of boosted by the fact that a lot of it is just like packaging bubble screens and stuff like that, which, to their credit, they throw really well. It's just like, I don't know how much that actually means. The play action stuff, though, I do think kind of speaks to what Bo Nix is, where I think every now and then he kind of has some processing issues. I think for a fifth year guy, you would like to see him be a little bit faster, get to stuff late in the down a little bit cleaner. But with play action, it kind of simplifies that, and it's just like you're going one to two and then either checking down or you're running or like plays dead. It's like a much simpler thing to execute. And I think because of that, Bo Nix has enough accuracy and enough like confidence in the system that he can kind of just let those throws go. And I think Oregon actually did a really good job of piecing together their play action game. Helps when you have a really good run game and offensive line that is going to help sell that for you. And I think they absolutely did. So I think that's kind of all that is there. I don't know if he's going to like in the NFL, I wouldn't classify him as like the play action type of like a Ryan Tannehill, you know what I mean? Where you're just standing in there taking shots. Like, I don't think it's quite like that, but I do think the simplicity of it helps him a lot. And I think he's accurate enough to make those throws.
His career is kind of a story of two very different quarterbacks. Out of Auburn was just a whole different story. Never passed for more than 2,500 yards. His touchdown to interception ratio was rough, you know, but the biggest part of that, the difference at Auburn to me was his play under pressure at Auburn was bad. Took a lot of sacks, 17 his first year, 21 his next year, 12 his third year, double digit sacks all three. A difference in O-line night and day between those two schools, but also difference in confidence level in a player. When you're watching him at Auburn, he looked shaky, he looked panicked. But when you're watching him at Oregon, that player is like very different. But even then, his success rate under pressure isn't that great of this class. Do you still see a little bit of that like Auburn Bo Nix in terms of confidence level? Or do you think he progressed at Oregon with the good offensive line, better weapons, better offense to the point where the translation from his kind of sketchy taking sacks to down to like five sacks in 2022, five sacks in 2023, and then his crazy higher touchdown interception ratio. What part of that do you attribute to Bo Nix compared to what part of that do you attribute to just the change in scenery for him?
I think a lot of it was just the change in scenery, truthfully, because I think to your point at Auburn, obviously the situation was a lot worse. And I think he was kind of a player where just like the compounding effect of constantly being under pressure, constantly feeling like the game is on your shoulders, like you're behind, all that other stuff. I think he let that get to him. And then so then when he was pressured, he just did some of the dumbest stuff imaginable. I think you go to Oregon where he has one of the best offensive lines in the country. He's rarely touched. He gets a lot of like, quote, plays off with just like some of their screen game and how efficiently they ran the ball at Oregon. So like he gets a lot of like mental tax taken off of him, which I think is really helpful. And then even like on their normal dropback stuff, he just wasn't pressured that much. So it's just not something you're like constantly thinking of every time you're going into a dropback, like, oh man, when am I going to get pressured? And you just have these like weird skittish responses. So I think he was a little bit better in that sense, but it's again more, I think, just because the environment allowed him to feel a little bit more comfortable. I think anecdotally, I still see a lot of issues with him under pressure. He likes to fall away from throws. I think his movement within the pocket is not all that impressive to me. I think he does make some really cool plays outside the pocket, and I think he's very creative, but I think within the pocket, he just, it's not all the way there for me. It's actually very similar to me, I think, to like Brock Purdy in the pocket, where it's like, okay, he's not the worst, but like when you get guys in his face, he's going to start falling away from throws. He's going to be a little bit more inaccurate. It's just not going to look as comfortable. You can rattle him a little bit. So that is kind of where I see Bo Nix in terms of the pressure stuff. Like, he's not the worst. I don't think he's as bad as like Michael Penix or something, who we'll do next week, but it's not great.
No, and it's highlighted here. Like you said, it's not horrible. He's at 51.9 success rate under pressure, which is sitting there at like an okay range. That's about middle of the pack, the way you chart things on here. But he only saw 79 pressured attempts. That's not much compared to these other guys. Jaden Daniels was the only other one that saw that kind of low of a pressured attempts. Likewise, really great offensive line, really good offense. And he succeeded much higher. Like, you have the comfort level. You see with like Jaden Daniels, similar situation. I'd say he had a better offense than what's at Oregon, but still he had a 66 success rate under pressure when it was down to just 74 pressure attempts. That's almost 15% higher than what you saw with Bo Nix. When you're pressured at such like a small rate like that, I would expect you to be more comfortable when the time comes, not just be like middle of the pack in the success rate. Because if you're not being pressured constantly throughout your games, why are you panicking at that level when you're actually getting pressured?
That's exactly the point, because like Drake May, for example, has almost the exact same pressure success rate as Bo Nix, like just above 51%. But also Drake May was pressured on like 9% more of his dropbacks, which is a lot. Like that's almost, it's like 50% more than Bo Nix was pressured. Yeah, it's like 50% more of the time than Bo Nix was pressured. Like that's a lot. And so that number is a lot more palatable to me when that's the rate of pressure that you're working with, as opposed to like, you know, Bo Nix, where he's just very, very rarely getting pressured and gets a lot of plays off, like I said, because of the run game, because of the screen game. To your point, you would love for him to actually be good when he is pressured, because it just happens so often, or so not so often.
Why do you think there are going to be teams that are willing to take the risk on Bo Nix for the first round? Because I still watching him play, obviously his charting, his accuracy, that kind of came off as like condescending, but I truly think there are a lot of traits in his game that merit what could be a first round pick. But I think personally, I would be more worried about what I haven't seen from Bo Nix as much. But what kind of traits do you think teams are looking for that would make him and like a first round caliber pick?
I think if I have to make the pitch, I would probably start it with athletic ability. Like I think he's a really good athlete. I think he's probably in like the Daniel Jones tier, where you can get a few hundred yards out of him as a runner. You can actually use him in the designed run game, even down in the red zone, like you know, short yardage situations, all that. Like he is a really good athlete. And then obviously when he needs to scramble, he can go do that a little bit by himself. I think he is a fairly creative player. Like I think actually a lot of his best plays are like, he gets outside of the pocket and just kind of finds some weird throw or something. He doesn't do it with near the regularity that like, you know, Caleb Williams or Drake May or whoever make it, but he does have enough of that in him that he can kind of make something from nothing every now and then. Teams probably think the arm is good enough. Like I said, I don't love some of his work outside the numbers sometimes, but like he has enough juice to get it down the field. He can throw it into tight windows over the middle. So like he probably at least crosses the bar. Like his arm is at least better than like Tua Tagovailoa. It's probably about as good as Joe Burrow's, where it's like, is this good? Really? No, but like he's accurate and he gets the ball where it needs to go. That type of deal. So I think those are probably the key traits and tenets. And then, like I said, accuracy. I think he's just generally accurate across the board. So that's probably the stuff that teams are looking at to pitch him as a first rounder. But I will say I'm kind of with you, where like I'm a little bit more skeptical of it just because of some of the stuff that doesn't feel as proven with Bo Nix.
I think his downfalls, like I'm perfectly happy to look over quarterback downfalls, you know, especially like I don't care that Caleb Williams is 6 foot. Like, yes, cool. If you're 6'4", I can look by that. I can look by like Drake Williams' footwork has been shaky, whatnot. I think there's a pretty predominant offensive line issue in the NFL. There are very few teams that I look at and I'm like, okay, your offensive line is substantially good enough to protect a young quarterback like that. I don't think any of these offenses where he's projected to go to, like Denver, their offensive line is shaky. I mean, just kind of name off teams between those picks 12 to 24 that your offensive line is good. You're not going to see many that don't already have an established quarterback. Sending Bo Nix to a team that has a very, very shaky offensive line and not a lot of playmakers on the outside seems like a death sentence for a player like that.
I big time agree. Like I said, I think his aversion to pressure, some of his responses when he doesn't get outside the pocket, I think are some of the worst plays you'll see in this class. And I think that's probably a big, big issue to me. I think both him and Jaden Daniels are probably him, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix and Michael Penix are like the three quarterbacks where I'm like, man, if they don't have an offensive line, they might be really, really bad, like to start. So yeah, Bo Nix definitely falls into that category. I think the other thing with Nix for me too is just like, if you're a fifth year player who has started all five of those seasons, by the way, I would like for your footwork to be a little bit cleaner. I would like for you to be able to get through your reads a little bit cleaner when we're doing like true dropback stuff, which again, Oregon didn't do a lot. So maybe there's, maybe that's the only issue and he just needed more reps or something. I don't know. But I would like to see stuff just be a little bit more cleaner, a little bit more easily projectable. than it is for Bo Nix right now. Like this was kind of my issue that I had with Kenny Pickett coming out, where I was just like, you've started a lot of football games and there's still some stuff that feels like you're a sophomore. You know what I mean? And Bo Nix definitely, I think, still has that quality to him. Whereas like, yeah, when I see a senior, like I want him buttoned up. I want him doing a lot of the right stuff. And just Bo Nix, I'm not all the way there on in terms of that.
He's one of those players that a lot like Will Levis last year, where I think there's a chance he goes lower than people are expecting. I've seen a lot of mock drafts with him taken at 12, which, don't get me wrong, I will not put anything past Sean Payton in a draft. Never will surprise me. He could draft anybody and I'll be like, yeah, sure, that's a Sean Payton move. And if the Broncos do take him, it wouldn't be my least favorite fit in the draft. You know, I like Sean Payton's route concepts for his wide receivers. He can make life easy. Cortland Sutton's a big body guy, and then hopefully Marvin Mims can step up to that. I don't hate it, but their offensive line is kind of middle of the pack. But I do see, kind of have like a feeling that we might get that kind of Will Levis, where teams are a little scared to take that high of a pick for a fifth year senior who still has some improvements to be made and didn't show a lot outside of the offensive structure in Oregon. So I feel like we might be able to see a little bit of a draft day kind of slide for him. I don't think that would hurt. I actually think that might be best case for him. Personally, if he went to like a Seattle where he may be able to develop behind a starter, have some really good offensive weapons to go into that position for, I don't hate it. I think that's his best success path in the NFL because he can kind of take a breath, maybe get some chances behind an offensive line in the NFL, see what that pressure is like, continue growing under a good coach. So I'm just going to jump right ahead here. I think Seattle would be my main pick for them. I would like to see him go to there early in the second round, where I'd feel like comfortable in my evaluation of Bo Nix to be like, all right, this is where I think he has the best chance to succeed as a pro. This is where I think his development is going to be best. What are your kind of thoughts on that? And also, where do you want to see him go?
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
I mean, I kind of like that fit. I also really do. The Denver one is really funny because I think it's as good a fit as they're probably going to get among these quarterbacks. Obviously, unless they like go up and trade for Drake May or something crazy. But he's realistically, Bo Nix is probably their best fit among the quarterbacks. But at 12, I'm just like, dude, there's no shot. Like they like to me, for my palate, for what I'm willing to risk, Bo Nix at 12 is not happening. But if they go down and get him at like, you know, somewhere on day two, perfectly fine with that. I think it makes a lot of sense. And then again, when you're taking a guy day two, there's a lot less pressure for him to like immediately be the guy, which I think for Bo Nix is probably good to like let him kind of take a breather for a second. Cause I think in a lot of ways, that's what the Oregon transfer was for him, was he was like, all right, I need to take a step back, take a breather, do something different, do something new. And I think him being able to do that at Oregon was really valuable for him. I think being able to take some of the pressure off and be a day two pick and sit somewhere is probably going to be good for him as well. I mean, realistically, that probably is also just my favorite spot for him to land. I just don't know if there's like, I'm trying to see him in Minnesota and I can't really get there. Las Vegas, I mean, I could kind of get it because I think you would actually probably use him and Gardner Minshew in a lot of similar ways outside of Nick's being able to do more as a runner. So maybe outside of Denver, Las Vegas is probably like my favorite.
Let's be honest, it's hard to
kind of... Can I throw one spicy one on actually, kind of? I think if Miami wants to set up like a contingency plan for not paying Tua, this is not like the worst option for them to go to. I mean, Nix can do all the RPO stuff. He's pretty accurate. Same type of arm talent. Probably a little bit better down the field. I don't know. I mean, it's... I don't know.
we're on different levels of the Tua game. I still very much like him as an NFL quarterback. So I'm not wish casting that, also because I don't want the chance halfway through the year of like bench Tua. That would just drive me nuts.
Okay, if we're six games in, I wouldn't do that.
If there were six games in the season, and like, let's say things aren't going well in Miami and they drafted Bo Nix in like the second round or something, and I'm hearing those chants, it's going to drive me nuts, because what if we get him like throwing to Tyreek Hill or that whole offense, and we'll have to watch them take a step back to like a rookie quarterback that hasn't quite gone in, I will lose my mind watching that football being played. And I cannot handle that. I don't want it to happen.
If they don't want to pay him, I'm just saying, this is probably their best bet, unless we did just get the report that Dak Prescott is not going to get a new contract done this offseason. They're not going to extend him. 2024 might be his last year if Dolphins don't want to pay Tua. This is a completely different podcast, by the way, but I'm just saying, Miami has options.
I'm fine with leaving Miami's options open, especially I'm with you that Dak Prescott very much deserves to get paid. I have no issue seeing him get out of Dallas. But I don't know. I have a trouble envisioning Bo Nix as a starter anywhere year one, just personally, without seeing that be kind of like a fire fest. And I don't want to see it happen to him. And I think a lot of times quarterbacks aren't given that time to develop. So I'm going to wish cast that he is granted that time to develop, because that makes me just feel all warm and fuzzy inside. But you have a nice player comparison for us, which I think is hilarious, because he also plays for the Denver Broncos and he also threw a lot of screens in his college profile. So go ahead, take the floor. Give me your player comp.
Yeah, this is not like my full one-to-one player comparison, but I was looking at the data. And so Bo Nix threw almost 30% of his throws behind the line of scrimmage, whether that was a lot of the screens they had in their offense, a lot of checkdowns that were in the offense, a lot of, I'll consider like running back swing routes, if they're within the progression, like flat routes, just certain stuff like that all throughout the offense. Like, they just did a lot of BS behind the line of scrimmage. The only other guy who, like, off the top of my head that came to my mind in my database who was like that was years ago, was Jarrett Stidham at Auburn, where it was just like everything was a screen or it was a play action shot down the field. And like, the presentation of that is a lot different at Oregon than it was at Auburn, but it's kind of the same deal, like where it's like, okay, like, this offense feels a little bit like all or nothing, and you're either like throwing screens or you're just chucking it, and you're kind of decent at that, but I don't know how much more gas you've got left in the tank with doing other stuff. And I think we've kind of seen with Jarrett Stidham there wasn't a whole lot left to find.
It would be hilarious to me if he did go to the Broncos and then you have Jarrett Stidham as the predominant starter to start the year, Bo Nix coming in as the second guy, and that's kind of not the Sean Payton offense. He's not really a all or nothing kind of guy. He's not really a screen deep bomb type of guy. They don't really have, I mean, I guess they kind of have the personnel for it. I want to hate seeing Marvin Mims run down the field, but I just can't imagine that going well for Denver. And then I think you're just going to end up, instead of having pick 12 next year, you might be taking a quarterback in the top three because of how bad your team is. So don't waste the pick 12 here. See if you can land one of these guys farther. This isn't a Denver Broncos podcast, but now we're just down that road. And that would be what I do. I don't want to see him really in the top 12. Feels like a lot of pressure for him. Feels like a lot of pressure for the team. On just a quarterback that I don't know if really either of us feel like is ready to be a starter now. But personally, I do feel like could be a starter down the road. I see him more of like a Derek Carr caliber of quarterback. Not necessarily like, there's been some Drew Brees comps thrown around from draft analysis. I don't remember who it was exactly. Was it Mel Kiper? I think it might have been Mel Kiper. I don't see that. I don't see that kind of range in his outcome. I don't see that kind of touch pass. The processing, like you said, seems like a little bit weaker of a processor than kind of you would expect out of a fifth-year starter. But I think he could be a plus starter in the NFL. No part of me thinks that he's going to just tank. I don't think he's got that kind of floor to him, but without the kind of like progression you would get by sitting behind someone for a year, I worry his career could just like hit a brick wall.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. Like, I think just between the athleticism, somehow he operates quick game, and generally his accuracy, he will probably be a guy who sticks around for a long time. Like, I think those are just traits that are going to keep you getting. I mean, he has more of that than Chase Daniel ever had. And Chase Daniel stuck around for a million years. No discredit to him. Like, but I'm just saying, like, Bo Nix is more talented than that. I think Nix is probably like a Gardner Minshew. And then there's, you know, that 10% chance that you can develop into something more, probably less than 10%. But you get what I'm saying, where like he's probably that. You take the dice roll, maybe he's something more. That's kind of what I see. But his like better outcome, to your point, is probably in the Derek Carr tier as opposed to the top eight, you know, whatever tier, whoever you want to name.
The Hall of Fame lead leaguing.
Yeah, Drew like Brees he's tier. That's just yeah. not in the cards, I don't think.
Don't see it. If you want to check out Bo Nix's full RP profile, that's going to be on the site once you hear this. Read Derek's full write-up on that. We'll be doing a video show on this as well on the YouTube channel, where we're about to hit 10,000 subscribers on Matt's channel. So if you're not already subscribing to the show, get on that. I've been waiting for us to hit that 10K mark all year. So please do make me happy. And leave a rating for this show. If you want to see us do this again throughout the year, this was kind of something new. Leave a like on the show, subscribe to the channel wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll be back with more of these up till draft season. Until then, we'll see y'all next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.